I've been struggling for the last several months with a disturbing question, and maybe it's something you thought about as well. How can we stand for biblical truth when we will be accused by our culture of being intolerant, bigoted, and judgmental? How can we stand for biblical truth? For example, when we proclaim that the Bible teaches the sanctity of life from the womb to the tomb, we're labeled misogynists and dogmatic. When we declare that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through Him, then we are called narrow-minded and prejudiced. When we stand for the fact that marriage is between a man and a woman, we are called homophobic and old-fashioned. When we claim that adultery and homosexuality are both sins, we are judgmental and bigoted. Well, what does the Bible teach about tolerance? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. It's listed there in your bulletin as well. Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If you look in the Bible other places, you'll find that Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." I just can't find the word tolerant in there anywhere. G.K. Chesterton, a former pastor years ago, said, "Tolerance is the virtue of a man with no convictions." Now, I realize that tolerance is the buzzword today. It's all the rage everywhere. Perhaps nothing is so trumpeted in our culture than we're tolerant. The worst thing in the world is to be called intolerant, right? Today, we are being told everywhere that to be tolerant, everyone must embrace, condone, or approve any ideology, any practice, any behavior, any belief. And in the name of tolerance, every evil is exalted and proudly defended, while all of those who resist evil are smeared and demonized as hate mongers or racists or even worse, bigoted. It seems as though the zealots of tolerance are extremely intolerant of views that don't agree with theirs. Tolerance to the non-believer really means an intolerance of the absolutes of our faith. Remember what Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good, and those who call good evil. These that are wise in their own eyes." We Christians, hear me clearly. Now, we Christians must know, must apply, and must defend biblical truth rather than personal opinion. If we don't, let me ask you, who will? Now, I realize most of us grew up in a culture based on Christian values, in a time when people knew what was right and wrong. Behavior like sexual deviances, disrespect for authority, pornography, lying and cursing, abusing drugs and alcohol, dishonesty to name a few, we knew they were wrong. And our values were based basically on biblical principles. Most people accepted, or at least respected, a belief in God. But once people began to eliminate God in their lives, they set out to change the culture by labeling biblical beliefs as intolerant. Calling for tolerance today really means an intolerance of the absolutes of Christianity. This practice, I believe, is undermining our Christian faith. Many Christians have been intimidated into thinking that you cannot stand up for biblical principles. The world would like nothing better than for us to feel guilty about boldly standing up and saying that Jesus is our Savior, that He hates sin and is not tolerant of it. There are things that are right and wrong. There are biblical absolute truths. So we Christians choose to measure culture through Scripture rather than Scripture through culture. We are committed to the truthfulness of the Bible and its authoritative relevance to every circumstance in our life. So today I want you to consider, isn't it time that we embrace biblical intolerance? Paul writes in Romans, we read, God calls us to abhor evil and cling to what is good. Now think about this. Science even admits absolutes. Water boils at what temperature? 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. Not 189, not 211, 212. Water freezes at, that's right, 32 degrees, right? Not 29, not 31, but 32. Objects that are heavier than air are attracted to the core of the earth. In other words, when you drop something, it doesn't go up, it goes down. Don't worry about it, that's okay. That's because of the intolerant law of gravity. Math is uncompromising. 2 plus 2 is 3.5. No, it's 4. In geometry, a straight line is the shortest distance between, no geometry, 2 points. All of that is so dogmatic and narrow, but geometry is intolerant. Now, yeah, you got the idea. Let's embrace biblical intolerance. Jesus was so intolerant about the way to him, to salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He was saying that in order that we would know how to live the way God wants us to live. And Jesus said there are two ways in life, two roads in life. One is broad, lacking in faith, conviction, and morals. That's easy, popular, the way of the majority, the way of the world. Many there are who go therein to destruction. Then intolerant, he says, enter at the narrow gate, because the gate is straight, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they would have in all its fullness. The Old Testament and the New display a God who does not tolerate sin. But there is a story in the scripture that demonstrates how clearly the loving intolerance of God for sin. It's called the cross. Here, an innocent man, Jesus, beaten, nailed to a cross, bearing the sins of the world, my sins and your sins. Is this the picture of a God who ignores evil? No. It shows his giving, his love, his kindness, his mercy, united with justice and holiness. The Lord shows us his love on the cross. The love of God is not a tolerant love. It's much better. It's redemptive love. Now, if you're still with me, and some of you are not, you've checked out, please be tolerant with me. It all comes down to how are we tolerant? It's almost like walking on eggshells today, because whatever we say can be taken wrong. Remember, our Christian intolerance provides our broken culture a rock on which to stand, dealing with the problems of life and the opportunities. We offer the world the message of life through Christ and his peace and the power in the transforming Word of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. How do you do this? Well, first of all, remember, love does not mean compromise. Just because you love someone and you keep on loving them, it doesn't mean you're compromising your biblical faith. Let love be genuine, Paul says. Repay no one evil for evil. Do what is honorable in the sight of all. Christian intolerance is not condoning everything. It's simply acknowledging someone's right to believe differently than we do, or to hold to certain beliefs or practices that we do not agree with. They have every right as an American to do so, but we are not, in loving them, compromising our Christian beliefs. Now, you see, as Christians, we recognize that many of the things that we see people doing are sin. But we recognize that we also sin. So casting stones should not be our business. Our humility ought to recognize our own fallibility. I may not have committed your sins, you may not have committed my sins, but remember the ground at the foot of the cross is level for us all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Loving people well doesn't mean that we embrace the choices they make, But it does mean that we welcome openly them and embrace all who come into our lives with a heart of understanding and the message of the hope of the gospel. We love people well, you see, when we call them out of their sin, into a relationship with King Jesus. It may not be the world's definition of tolerance, but it is the truest way to love. We stand for the biblical principle against the act of murder. So we ought to be like the members of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, who forgave Dylan Ruth, who had taken the lives of 9 of their loved ones. One of those, Reverend Anthony Thompson, whose wife Myra was one of those killed by the killer, he said, "I forgive you, and my family forgives you, but we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ Jesus, our Lord." Or maybe we need to be like the brother of Botham Jean, Brent Jean, who forgave and hugged the former police officer, Amber Geiger, the one who had killed his brother, and like Judge Tammy Kemp, who followed the conviction that she presided over, presented Amber Geiger her own Bible, pointing to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Pastor Rick Warren has said, "Our culture has accepted 2 huge lies. One, if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear them or hate them. Lie number 2. The second that you love someone means you agree with everything they believe and do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. We can love one another without compromising our convictions. Second thing, acceptance does not mean approval. We can accept all people, but it doesn't mean we approve of their choices or lifestyle. Jesus didn't tolerate sin or hypocrisy or prejudice or injustice because people must see their sin before they will be able to see their need of a Savior. Standing for biblical principles against sin goes hand in hand with bringing people to Jesus Christ and his grace. God calls us to abhor evil while at the same time warning us about not being angry, judgmental, or revengeful, not with arrogance or condescension, anger or judgment, or cruel jokes or ugly names or condescending looks. We must treat all people with respect when we're talking to them and when we're talking about them. We are really a poor substitute or imitation, I should say, of the Holy Spirit when we walk around trying to convict people of their sins. That's his job, not ours. And besides, the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more interested in changing the sins in our lives than theirs. Holding people accountable to biblical truth is not an imposing of our personal preferences. It's an invitation to the life that God can fully bless in Jesus Christ. Jesus never told his disciples to go out into the world, judge the world, reform the world, but to make disciples of all people. Remember, it's being that salt and that light that we remember, holding the light brightly in someone's face might blind them. And too much salt ruins just about everything. Now, others may call us intolerant. We must accept that as we stand for biblical beliefs. But our actions must continually show unconditional love. Followers of Jesus do not take the way of Hillsboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, which gained notoriety for its hateful pickets at military funerals and celebrations of death and tragedy. But we Christians can appreciate men like Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A, who stands for biblical marriage between a man and a woman. And that drew all kinds of condemnation. He humbly said, "We want to do anything possible." Dan Cathy said that we're going to do everything we can to strengthen the family. He said, "I know there are people who won't like that, but we stand our company on biblical principles, and we thank the Lord we live in a country where we can share our values and operate on biblical principles." And did you read and did you know that when the protesters were all outside of the Chick-fil-A franchise, that the manager, the owner of that franchise, took out to them and gave them Chick-fil-A sandwiches and coupons and refreshments and invited them to come inside? Don't you want to be like that? Wow. Maybe there are better words than tolerance or intolerance. Maybe the words ought to be agape love, respect, and kindness. We make our stance for biblical truth, but we do it always with an attitude of unconditional love, respect for others, and kindness to all. We may be called intolerant. It may lead to a cross. It may lead to being ostracized, but we'll do it like Jesus, with all the love and truth of God. We believers must be God's particular and peculiar people. We're different from the world, but we live in the world as we become radiant with His grace, and we ask Him to fill us with His bold, loving Spirit so that we can offer a genuine alternative of durable hope and attractive, winsome counterculture used to bring spiritual revival to our nation and our world. Back in the 1990s, I was pastoring in Orlando, Florida. It was the height of the AIDS crisis. Most of you all remember going through that. We didn't know what caused it. We didn't know exactly how it was transmitted or if it was contagious or not. And that was the time when the Southern Baptist Convention came out with their word, "We're going to boycott Disney World because of their gay pride observance days." And many of my members worked at Disney World. I thought that was a kind of an intolerant stance for all the good that Disney World does in our area. Well, after one Sunday morning, a couple came with tears in their eyes and they said, "Pastor, can we ask you something?" I said, "Sure." They said, "Our son Cecil, 35 years old, is dying with AIDS. And he asked if a pastor would come and visit him. Would you go?" Well, I immediately thought, "Oh no, I'll be excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention." Maybe not too bad at that time. Is it contagious? What will my deacons say? Will they think that I'm approving of his lifestyle if I go? All these things running through my mind until the question came up, what would Jesus do? So I said, I'll go see Cecil tomorrow. Coming into his ragged apartment, he was lying in the bed, feverish, pale, thin, speaking with a weak, soft voice. I sat down by his bed, took his hand, and he poured out from his heart the confession that his lifestyle is costing him his life. He was so sorry for that. And I asked the Lord to forgive him and take him home to heaven. So we prayed together, and I left. 2 days later, Cecil died. His parents asked me if I would speak and hold and conduct his funeral. I said I'd be proud to. At the funeral, several days later, 32 of Cecil's friends were there. And I got to share the loving grace of Jesus Christ, who forgives us all our sins. And if we'll just confess, he will welcome us home to heaven. Did I do the right thing? Ask Cecil's parents. Ask his friends. Ask Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, you have given us biblical truth and direction. Now we need your courage in the midst of a world that doesn't understand, that's broken and needs to be healed. Help us to stand for your truth because you love every one of us. And Jesus wants to forgive our every sin. So Lord, give us courage and give us strength for the living of these days to stand for your biblical truth with love in our hearts and a tear in our eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.